Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation.
Miss Kimberly.
Hey, Judy. How are you doing today, sister?
I am good, baby. I'm good.
Well, I am glad that you're good. I am so looking forward because you're still hosting. So let's go ahead and get started with what you have to share with us today.
Well, you know, you're the one that started this. So I just have to tell you, you did such a great series on the, you know, tough challenges of sugar and the debilitating effects of sugar. And so it was sort of a lot of weeks of talking about giving up something that we all love, right? Like, what's not to love about sugar? I mean, studies have been done that babies love sugar and it's addictive and all that kind of thing. But so it really stirred me to refocus us on what we can eat and all the bounty that God has given us that, you know, it's so human, right? To focus on what we have to give up instead of on what we have. That's such a human thing, right? So yes, this series is entitled Eat, capital E, capital A, capital T, exclamation point. And last week we talked about eating strategically. And this week is one of my favorites because, I mean, it's sort of my mantra. It's sort of my overall food coaching mantra: eat real food. Before we get started, I would love it if you would pray us in. And then this week's focus verse is from Proverbs. Like, who doesn't love the Proverbs, right? And it's Proverbs 19:8. So if you would read that after you pray, that'd be great.
All right, I'll do it. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we just thank you so much that you are indeed our Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. And we're thankful for the foods that you have supplied to our bodies to help them to feel and function their best. So, Lord, we just thank you for your strength that gives us the power to do what you have called us to do. And that is to be good stewards over the body that you have given to us. We do recognize that your bodies are our temple, so we do want to treat them well. And so, Lord, give us wisdom, give us guidance. And above all, Lord, we just desire to honor you and to glorify you and to magnify you, because we do need energy to go out and share the gospel. So, Father, we know that the foods that you have supplied will help us to do that as well. So we thank you, Lord. We pray also that the word that we speak today will indeed fall on good ground and bring forth an abundant harvest of blessings in the lives of our listeners. So we give you praise, glory, and honor in all things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And sister, amen. And you asked me to read Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8, which reads, "The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper." I love that.
You know, that might seem like a interesting, befuddling verse for talking about eating real food. But I think we lack wisdom in our food choices. And that's why I wanted to look at that Proverbs. And it says, the one who gets wisdom loves life. And I'm just in the midst of this series, want to challenge our listeners to be wise in their food choices. And as I said earlier, one of my sort of pillar food coaching mantras is eat real food. And it's, you know, that sounds simple, but obviously many Americans don't, or we wouldn't have the obesity crisis that we have. And our food source today looks very different than it did 100 years ago. And so I have a couple videos for our listeners to go watch, and the link is in the show notes that are on Kim's website, takebackyourdimple.com, on what is it, Kim, on the podcast section or podcast tab on the resource page. So I want to look at what does it mean? What does that mean to eat real food? Well, of course, candy bars are real food, right? Well, so I would propose that, like many other areas in life, man's made a mess. You know, God provided pure, nutritious food, and sadly, we've diluted and destroyed it. And so I want to give you a specific example for that. Whole grains. So whole grains in their natural state are loaded with both nutrients and fiber, but man's meddled with it. Specifically, like look at oats. So the kernels grow on a stalk like wheat, and there are three parts to a kernel. And from the outside in, it's the bran, the endosperm, and the germ. And the most of the nutrients are inside the germ and the endosperm. And so guess what's removed when we process the kernel for quick cooking? Yeah, the vitamin-packed middle is what is taken out. And that leaves less than 25% of the magnesium and zinc and barely a trace of vitamin E. I mean, it just strips it of its natural nutrients. And that just makes me so sad. Here God says, look, have a kernel of wheat. I mean, you can imagine Jesus got in trouble, right? Because he ate a grain of wheat. And yet we eat such processed food that the nutrient content is really diluted and the fiber content. So in their natural state, complex carbohydrates don't create chaos. But after we've messed with it, it does. And the more it's processed, the quicker it is digested, and the more we have the ups and downs of our blood sugar and all that. So what is real food? What I'm going to do today is just throw out the categories. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to delve deeper into these categories. And you got to know, not a surprise, the first category is fruits and veggies. And one of the things that I find interesting, because I was in the whole food fitness industry in the corporate world for over 30 years, right? So from like 85 to 2015. So in that time, I saw all the crazy diets, like, you know, the peanut butter diet and the hot dog diet and the high protein, low fat and no protein. I mean, I saw it all, right? But what I find interesting is, given all the abundance of candidly contradictory diets, there's one thing that everybody agrees on, and that's the benefits of fruits and veggies. And no wonder, right? There's no more obvious God-grown gift than those little niblets that we pick off a tree or a vine. So years ago, and I have to tell you, I'm thinking it's like the late 80s or so, the recommendation for fruits and veggies went from 5 a day to 9 a day. But most Americans don't meet that mark, right? And that's confusing to me, because one of the things I say in my coaching is, and I might put out there now, I'm not really coaching anymore. It just add fruits or vegetables at every feeding, right? Like, it's not that hard. Like, in the morning, you add berries or a chopped apple or a chopped peach or whatever to whatever it is, your breakfast cereal. Add veggies to anything and everything, like in your omelets, your salads, your sandwiches. I mean, just pile veggies in everything. And then I just have to giggle, because one of my tactics, because I coached women who would say, oh, my husband won't eat that. So you just hide it. You don't tell him, right? Like, I served my brother chili last weekend, and he didn't even know there was kale in there. So, So, and one of the videos that is in your going to be on your resource page, the link is going to be on your resource page, Kim, is called Choose Widely. And if any of you are following me on Facebook, and I think Kim mimics it pretty much every week, and that's Holy Health Club, at Holy Health Club on Facebook, we have a hashtag active worship. And we did a whole series between January 15th and the 27th. We did a campaign called Choose Widely. So if you've missed that, please go back. Please look at those old Facebook posts, because we talked a lot about what does that mean? How do you choose widely? And so, for example, in the fruits and veggies arena, it's not uncommon to see somebody eating an apple, orange, banana, whatever. But when was the last time you had a kiwi or mango or papaya? And then, same with veggies. It's not that uncommon to put carrots and tomatoes in a salad or whatever. And maybe broccoli, though George Bush hates broccoli. But anyway, what about roasted Brussels sprouts or sauteed fresh green beans? Like, when was the last time you sauteed fresh green beans? So the point is, choose widely. So, Kim, I want to bring you in because I'm sure that you at Take Back Your Temple talk a lot about the importance of fruits and vegetables and how they're really helpful in encouraging those who are trying to eat well, because you really don't have to monitor, you don't have to measure, you don't have to count calories. You just eat yourself into oblivion in the fruits and veggies category. So talk to me, baby.
Well, I can tell you, Judy, that you're talking about choosing widely. I have fallen in love with cauliflower.
Oh.
And it is so weird because I used to ignore cauliflower in the grocery store. But I would say probably about a couple of months ago, I went to Sam's and they have these big bags of riced cauliflower. So I decided I was just going to try it and see what happens. And oh, my goodness, I decided to put some cauliflower in my omelets in the morning. And it's so delicious. That rice cauliflower, I put like a cup of it in there. And it doesn't really have much of a taste, but the omelet is delicious because I'll put some Swiss cheese on top of it because it's low in salt. And, a little bit of seasoning on it, and then just make it up into a omelet, and it adds so much bulk to it. And it makes me full all the way until lunch with just that. I was like, wow, this is so delicious. And then just now, actually, I made a vegetable stir fry and I had some Brussels sprouts. You were just talking about that. And there's a recipe that I have called egg roll in a bowl. Well, most of the time I have cabbage that I put in there, cabbage and carrots, some onions and stuff, soy sauce, all that. But I didn't have any cabbage. I had some Brussels sprouts. So what I decided to do was to use my food processor to slice up the Brussels sprouts and make them like cabbage because they're both cruciferous vegetables. So I said, well, why don't I just break down the shred the Brussels sprouts? And oh my goodness, Judy, it is so delicious with the Brussels sprouts, with the shredded Brussels sprouts. And I just love it. So, it really is a lot of fun and an opportunity for us to use our creativity with the foods that God has given them and to make them so delicious. So I am so grateful just for the opportunity to talk about this. And I had an orange earlier, and I'm about to have, after we get off this call, have some blueberries with some Greek yogurt sweetened with some stevia to have as a snack. So really, there's so many different opportunities for us to feed our bodies with the foods that God made for us so we can feel and function our best.
Well, and I love not only your cauliflower idea, but their food processor to chop it all up. So it,
yeah.
Cause it matters, right? So thank you for that. I'm going to continue on with, again, we're just talking categories, and then we're going to spend more time in the weeks to come sort of drilling down on these. But the second category of real food, this is real food, is the whole grains. And, most of our grains are processed in the form of flour. And some on this call, I'm sure, eat regular oatmeal and not quick oatmeal that's been processed. And then there's rice, and a lot of people like rice. Unfortunately, the boil in a bag, that's all been processed. It's not necessarily the whole grain brown rice. because we're lured into this quick cooking, which means it's been processed. But what about other whole grains? Like, when was the last time anyone ate quinoa or amaranth or millet or rye? They're all higher in protein. They're all higher in magnesium and calcium. And again, variety is the spice of life. And when you look at all the different grains that God has given us, and we eat white rice, I'm just like, okay, whoa, okay. Look, there's so many more choices that have so much different flavor. Quinoa is one of the highest in protein, and it actually cooks quicker than rice. So expand your whole grain horizon. That's the second category of whole foods. Then we go to beans. My favorite thing in life is beans, because I'm telling you, if you were stuck on a desert island and you only could have one food, you should eat beans. They're high in fiber, low in fat, cheap. You know, anybody, oh, it's too expensive to eat healthy. No. Oh, no, 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 no. So, but again, we get stuck on our rut. So some might throw pinto beans in a chili recipe. Maybe you make black bean soup, or maybe you have black beans in your Mexican recipe. But you know, when was the last time you made white chicken chili or split pea soup, or put garbanzos or kidneys in your salad? Or, you know, there are so many different kinds of beans. And again, we don't choose widely. So not only are they a fabulous real food source, but the list of options is lengthy, and we don't even really know all the different beans that are available. So please explore. Second is, the next is lean proteins. So beyond beans, most people think about chicken, beef, pork, right, for their protein source. But what about fish? And I'm not saying no red meat, but when we delve into this category, we're going to talk about some of the downsides of meat versus a plant-based protein. But anyway, that's just another category. And how often do you expand into fish as a lean protein source? And then, oh, my favorite thing, nuts and seeds. Again, I've lived through all the crazy diets. And I remember in the 90s that you could eat anything, like anything, as long as it was non-fat or low-fat. And so everything was non-fat, full of sugar, and nuts and seeds. Oh, no, no, no. They're off the list because they have fat in them. Oh, we're going to talk about that when we delve into the nuts, seeds, lean protein segment. But don't forget your nuts. Don't forget your seeds on your salad. Put, diced walnuts on your morning apple salad. Like what I would do for your blueberry yogurt concoction, Kim, is I would also chop walnuts and put it on there. And then sunflower seeds and salad. So don't forget the category of real food called nuts and seeds. So Kim, talk to me. Give us more of your thoughts on eating real food, and maybe even which category was either the easiest or most difficult for you to embrace and expand when you were changing your choices.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the nut suggestion. I have actually some pecans here in the house, so I think that's what I'll do is chop those up and put that with my yogurt, and I think that'll be delicious as well. But you're asking about what category I had the most trouble with, and of course, I would say vegetables, particularly when I'm struggling with my weight. But it was a struggle with it because, you know, when you're a kid, you think, you don't like green stuff. You know, your kids are like, you want to hold your nose. And, if anybody told me at my current age that I would grow to like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and all that stuff, I would have looked at them like they were crazy. But I will challenge our listeners that even though that was a difficult category for me to embrace, I want you to challenge yourself that just because you didn't like something when you were 10, be willing to revisit that now that you're 50 or 60 or 40 or whatever, just to give it another opportunity, because perhaps it was the way that it was prepared back then. Because I know that I don't know many of the adults when I was growing up, they would cook the stuff for so long it would be like mush. the vegetables and stuff. You know, I'm thinking about spinach, you know, in schools, how, you know, it just didn't smell all that great and it wasn't tasty. So be willing to give it another shot, because maybe all that was lacking was a good recipe for, or the preparation method. But again, you have the opportunity to use your creativity. And when you're using your creativity and just think to yourself, look at all these vegetables and fruits that God gave us for our benefit, then just be willing to try it again with a good recipe and see if you still like, if you like it or not. And I'm sure you will, but be willing to try.
Yes, ma'am. So in addition to processing your food choices by the template of eat real food, the other way to look at it is eat nutrient rich. And I really like to default, and you're going to hear this again in the weeks to come, 1 Corinthians 10:31, that says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So what if every time you were about to put something in your mouth, you paused and asked yourself, is this nutrient rich? So your grains, is this a whole grain or is it a processed grain? Sugar, is it fruit-based or is it just processed sugar? Snacks, you know, bananas versus a bag of chips kind of thing, right? Better choices, one at a time. Is this nutrient rich? So again, I've got a video on the resource page entitled Eat Nutrient Rich. So what are the hurdles, Kim, to eating real food? And one that I, you know, we all hear, and I just want to, I won't say smack them, because I wouldn't say that. But, you know, you just hear, oh, healthy foods taste horrible. And I contest that, because I have to tell you, I defy you to turn up your nose to my apricot lentil soup. It is unbelievable, and it is nutrient rich. So if in fact you're saying, oh, healthy food tastes horrible, the question is your cooking lacking? Like Kim said, are you like cooking the vegetables until they're mush? So taste is one complaint or one hurdle for eating real food that I would contest. The other is another one is convenience. You know, the days when families sat around the dining room table to a homemade feast, unfortunately, are fading a bit. There's a reason the fast food industry was $387 billion industry in 2023. You know, I get it. We're busy. We like easy. But you know what? With some forethought, home prep can create the convenience you're looking for. If you just do a little bit of planning, a little bit of strategic prep, the convenience is there. And there's nothing more convenient to walking in after work and there's something yummy in your crock pot. So I'm going to say the convenience thing is off the table too. Availability, let's just call it. Bad food is available everywhere. I did the corporate wellness thing and the office is full of donuts and pizzas and pastries and parties, and you can hear me scream again about the Sunday sweet fest at churches across the country. So it's certainly available. And I get it. That is a hurdle to eating real food because the bad food is dangled right under our nose. I get that. And that leads us to societal norms. You know, I love you, so I baked you a birthday cake or I baked you cookies for your birthday. And that is the societal norm, right? And there's just nothing healthy about that. And I just have to tell you, bless my sweet mama, who I miss terribly. She was probably the only one who knew I would blow a fuse, because I do that so easily, when friends made me birthday cake, because I hate birthday cake. So if you love me, don't bake me birthday cake. No, I hate it. You know, it's not even just like I can't get off my high horse and eat it for one day. I don't like it. Like, if you're going to do something like that for me for my birthday, give me chicken nachos, right? But no birthday cake, like, oh, so gross. But it's societal norm. So the point is, that's part of the hurdle, is just societal norms dangle bad food under our nose. And then the last hurdle, and again, I beg to differ with this hurdle, is, oh, healthy food is too expensive. So I did some research. And again, I really encourage you to join me at Holy Health Club on Facebook, because we're doing stuff like this. So a 12-pack of soft drinks is $10. 24-pack is $16. I'm just telling you, I can make two pots of soup for that. So don't tell me it's too expensive, because I know y'all are buying 12 packs of cola. A big bag of Lay's potato chips is $6. You can buy a tub of hummus for that same $6. A pack of 12 donuts. I was shocked at this. $5 for a 12-pack of donuts. And that is a bushel of berries. That is a bushel of blueberries, you guys. So don't be telling me, oh, healthy food is just too expensive. And I want to make one last comment, Kim, and then I want to bring you in. 2 weeks ago, and if you missed our session 2 weeks ago, please, 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 it was sort of the foundational session for this series. We started by considering God's deep, steadfast love for us. And it was, for me, intriguing to meditate on Luke 22, where Jesus is sitting with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he says, "This is my body given to you." And last week, we quoted Genesis 1:9 that says, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth." So God has given us a bounty of food. And I would suggest, like he gave his own life for our salvation. And yet we choose the offerings of the world. And so I want to encourage you, listeners, that food is what we are choosing to bring into our bodies. In essence, we're saying, I'm going to choose this for my nourishment today. And I encourage you, I think the correlation might be also nourishing our soul with God's word versus social media. How are you fueling your soul? How are you fueling your body? So Kim, comments on all the hurdles. Why do you think we sabotage our food choices? What are your thoughts?
I can obviously tell you about my experience in the past, because now I just tell myself, you know, I'm just loving myself to health. And that's a way for me to remind myself that I want to eat well, to give myself the energy and the strength to do the things that God's calling me to do. But I used to eat, there was a time in my life when I would eat fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And now that I think about it, it kind of is shocking, because I'd never do that today. But at the time, it felt like a treat for me to not have to cook, because at the time I was in my nursing career, and I would think to myself, I'm just too tired to, you know, prepare food. I'll just go and grab something really quick. Well, now I can see the connection and say to myself, part of the reason I was so tired is because I was eating poor quality food and not providing my body with the nutrients that it needed to function and my brain to think. But it really was, it was convenience was one reason why I did it, and comfort, because when I would have the sugar, it would numb me out to the unhappiness I felt in my career, and I would just binge off of it. So that was my reason for it. But you're right, it can be just as convenient, because now I use the Instapot, a pressure cooker, to cook my favorite categories, which are soups, stews. Then I do stir fries with I have a large jumbo cooker I cook those in. And then, of course, salads. I don't use the pressure cooker for that, but it's all S's. Soups, stews, stir fries, and salads. And those are pretty quick, you know, that you could put up there. And it really is convenient in the way that you described, Judy, where we can feed ourselves well and use our time wisely in preparation.
You're full of good ideas, baby. Can I come over for dinner?
You certainly are always okay, welcome, sis.
Okay, action invitation, then I'm going to pray us out. Okay, guys, at every sitting, every feeding this week, ask yourself, is this real food? Is this nutrient rich? Everything you put in your mouth, is this nutrient rich? And then when you go to the grocery store, ask yourself, is this my best investment? And I just want to, before I pray out, just say, we would very much appreciate if any of you are being blessed by Stirring Words and would like to help keep us on the air, you can subscribe to our podcast and become a financial partner by going to takebackyourtemple.com/donations. And for that, we are quite grateful. Okay, I'm going to pray us out. Lord, 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 you have given us such bounty. Your steadfast love, your generosity, the abundant life that you provide and offer us is so evident in the foods, the categories, the plethora of choices that are available to us. I pray for our listeners that they would embrace your bounty with gratitude and celebration. Lord, make us doers and not just hearers. For we ask it in the name and the power of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good session. Hey, if you got the time, I got the time, and let's do it next week.
Well, God willing, we will be here. So I pray our listeners have a great week as well, sister. Love you,
babe. Love you, babe.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at TakeBackYourTemple.com and Judy at HolyHealthClub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.